From San Francisco, this is Sundown Lounge. Show number 312. It's Friday, March 1st, 2013.
Salem, 1994. She loosed wolf packs from her larynx, brewed tonic of her own bones, knowing she had the recipe right when the wood grain crawled and the light bulbs panicked like birds.
The album dropped, cracked open in our front yard like a banshee's egg, and we shrieked in agreement with this demon philosopher queen. Here be witches and their ilk. Which is why the Bjorks
and Michelles
and Tories
and Annies
all have followings we call cult. Why we burn each of them at the stake in succession.
Too shrill.
Too black.
Too goth.
Too gay.
Why Beyonce will always get more airplay than Erica.
It's the lesson Lady Gaga parades through town with a wink. Sincerity doesn't pay. What could be worse than a woman who writes her own music and means it?
I remember my teenage shock to hear this obscenity over the airwaves.
This woman who apologized for nothing to the extent that I had to wonder who I was.
Did I speak eloquently?
Would I go down on him in a theater?
And I know what some of you might be thinking, but chances are you don't know how to use the word ironic either.
Look it up, bitches.
When I wasn't sure, Alanis had an answer for that, too.
Maybe the best thing you could say to a 13-year-old kid.
What it all comes down to is that no one's really got to figure it out just yet.
Fuck yes to a voice with rasp and edge that could pummel the hell out of any auto-tuned, lip-syncing cardboard cutout. I don't want my art made out of plastic.
My darlings, give me magic and the witches who make it.
Sign me up for the cult and the day the last Tracy Chapman,
Susie Sue, or Morissette stops working her dark arts with marrow, spittle, and eye of newt. Then tie me up.
Spark the tender and burn me too.
Okay. We open with Salem, 1994. A righteous poem by Shadowboxers Anonymous, a San Francisco-based, internationally known female slam poetry duo comprised of poets Kim Johnson and Laura Yes Yes, one from Chicago, one from San Francisco. Over the years, they have toured throughout North America and Europe, performing at poetry slam venues, clubs, colleges, festivals, and performing arts centers. This was recorded on a rooftop at UNA, University of North Alabama, by Jason Flynn before a February 7th gig and published to YouTube on February 25th. This week, it's another West Coast showcase of fresh indie music and spoken word, found mostly at Reverb Nation, and I think one from Bandcamp, and the poems all uploaded to YouTube during the month of February. So, welcome to Show 312.
This podcast is a member of the Association of Poetry Podcasting
at poetrypodcasting.org.
This is a laid-back and often explicit, bet your ass, weekly international pod zine of extremely eclectic music, spoken word, weird science, progressive politics, interesting audio goodies, and occasional etc. My website is dublarrywinfield.com. Hey, Geek Notes. Okay, we have a couple birthdays. A belated happy birthday to Shappy C. Schultz on Thursday, February 28th, and Jason Pettis on Tuesday, March 5th. And now, just a few items this week in the order they came in. From the Black Science Fiction Society, Valjean Jeffers, author of Immortal, is generating buzz for her upcoming novel, Colony, by offering the erotic space opera short stories, Colony and Probe, free on Smashwords. The full-length novel will be released near the end of the year. Oh, here's a first. A fashion plugger. The label Marie Roz was created in Berlin by the Brazilian designer Mariana Razuc. Her taste for geometrical forms and graphical elements is always mixed with her Brazilian background. Colorful and easy, which makes the clothes never too serious, never too stiff, simply different. Her latest line for spring and summer 2014 is called Breath of Life. Hey, check it out. Okay, music items. Brett Newsky and the Corruption, the rock and roll band from Saigon, Vietnam, sent in a plugger for their new album Tiny Victories, along with their roster of spring tour dates throughout the Midwest. The Rusty Wright Band, those blues rockers from Flint, Michigan, have a new CD out, This, That, and the Other Thing, which has debuted at number 5 on the Relix Jam Band National U.S. Airplay chart, among such blues notables as Charlie Musselwhite and Buddy Guy. Nice. And Music Connection magazine is out, online and on the newsstands. Among the March features are a directory of managers and booking agents, and a helpful article for DIY outfits, Are You Cut Out for Self-Management? And we round it up with a Bay Area literary gig, Writer's Core, at the Contemporary Jewish Museum, 736 Mission Street in the city, what the locals call San Francisco. On Thursday, March 7th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the CJM hosts an evening of multicultural readings. Writers' Core youth poets and teaching artists share the stage with an esteemed writer, Tamim Ansari, whose best-selling memoir was a one-city, one-book pick for San Francisco. This event is free, with museum admission, and welcome to all ages. One final item. We acknowledge the life, artistry, and boundless spirit of Chicago poet, and so much more, David Hernandez, who left us this past Monday. I just heard about this on Thursday, so any details I'm going to add to the webpage. Geek Notes details are on the Map Room page. If you have promos, pluggers, gig info, an art opening, etc., send me an email. The address is sundownlounge@larrywinfield.com. And bands, musicians, and poets, download links, no attachments, please.
Transfer complete.
Okay, the open mic stage, my extremely eclectic West Coast mix, continues with the first of many rock numbers this time out. Kingdoms Come and Castles Fall by Eyeshine from Los Angeles. They were formed in 2004 by frontman Johnny Young Bosch and Maurice Salmon. Eyeshine first found success in 2006 with a unique blend of pop, punk, and post-grunge called Edge Rock. This tune comes from Revolution Airwaves, released on July 1st last year. And after that, it's Boys, a brief and striking poem by Nick Alea, performing at a monthly reading slash publication thing called The Lit Slam. Damn good piece. And very interesting gig. And right after that, it's Grasshopper Drums with MBG Guitar by the Grasshopper Harvester Project, a unique creative engineering endeavor by Gordon Welsh, a San Francisco guitar player, songwriter, engineer, and artist. The main goal is to develop the Grasshopper Harvester into the technology that removes the diesel-burning combines and equipment in our farming system and replaces it with sound, long-lasting, and green tech that reduces the need for farm labor. It was conceived as a pot harvester 25 years ago when the tech did not exist, but now it does. And he thinks it can work in many more conditions and farm produce as well. By the way, the Grasshopper Music Project is awaiting vocals by the awesome Isabel Branch, a.k.a. Isa Konar, all the way in Great Britain. And the MB stands for Michael Becker.
I think that if you are beautiful, then you have power. I think that if you have a lot of money, then you have power. All I've been dreaming about lately is what is the quickest way to become a boy. I mean, to be loved by a boy. I am 17, and I am not beautiful, and I have no power. So I let the boys call me dyke. I let them say it at me like a vacant house. How sometimes the only way I am noticed is to show everyone how haunted I can be. Oh,
okay, this set opens with Death Trap America, an alternative boutique punk number by a San Francisco band with the same name. Formed in September 2010 on a sunny afternoon trip to Seattle, and out of the frustration with the current affairs and hardships of our nation, the idea of Death Trap America presented itself to its willing members, J.T. Locke and Amanda Vandermeer. They've blended the styles of rock, metal, pop, punk, and progressive rock, resulting in a sound of heavy, catchy rock and roll they call boutique punk. Their aim is to entertain and wake up the masses to a positive environment with their energetic and interactive live performance. Cool. After that, it's some experimental dubstep. Melek Tau's Dubstep CI versus El Diablo SF. Yeah, that's a mouthful. By Oakland artist Carlos Penagarido, whose handle is CI, as in continuously improving. He is a self-taught musician who creates pieces of music in order to get them out of his head. In 2002, he started messing with audio software in his native Chile and was dubbed Cacoláctico by his friends. His unique sound blends dub, hip-hop, cumbia, metal, and trance. Look for the 17-track album Cacoláctico, released by El Diablo SF.
Always hide the past, search.
All right. This set kicks off with a blessing, a poem called A Prayer by Joshua Merchant, a.k.a. The Graduate, actually blessing the food at Word Slangers, a parlor full of poets, an event that happened on Sunday, February 24th at the Prescott Joseph Center for Community Enhancement in Oakland. Next up, it's Singapore Rice, another piece named for the outfit, in this case, a grunge rock blues band from Seattle, started in 2003. The band has three members, Jake W.S., K-Dub, and Ian K. The band tries to keep their music raw and in the flesh with guitar solos and a wide range of different styles. And after that, it's Expatriate, a trip-hop experimental piece by Absence of Apathy, a.k.a. Derek O. Hanley, a cat from Oakland with little to no web footprint, aside from a LinkedIn page that may or may not be him. Anyway, this piece is very experimental, with judicious use of sound and silence. And when the sound cuts out, just count to 10.
The rising sun is a redemption song that is played every morning. When the sun sets, we forget how temporary the dark is. Shudder when the night's climax looks away at our flesh. The betrayal of our eyes confuse us. They usually work so well in the daytime. Confusion is a lily pad floating on top of our discomfort. From there, anger blossoms like a lotus flower. Anger is a powerless man walking in the dark. A powerless man is thirsty. A foolish man sees power as a saloon. He is never quenched, only intoxicated. A man with a hangover wants to keep his eyes closed when he sees redemption, a rising sun. Open your eyes. The burning is only temporary. The darkness was never here to stay. I promise you are no werewolf. You do not have to be content with howling at the moon. The brightness it shares is only a fragment of what the sun provides. A faithless man forgets natural orders. Apocalypse. Chances to rebuild. Precipitation. The earth replenishing itself. A lion's hunt. The restoration of the food chain. Sunrise. Nightfall. Life. All phases of a cycle. It is time to acknowledge the phase we are in. It is impossible to move forward otherwise. I want to thank everyone for coming. I want to thank GP for providing this space. We have to provide spaces like this because no one else is going to do it for us. And yeah, Ashe, Amen, love, eat, we hungry. Thank you.
Ashe. Thank you.
Okay, last set is a trio of grunge numbers, and you can crank them up. First, Counting On by Cement Season from Portland, Oregon. Unlike most frontmen, Cement Season's Ian Powell has a license to invoke the Doors and grunge in his sound. He has walked across the continent with American Indians, shaken off a drug addiction in jail, and spontaneously disappeared to Alaska. Out of this wild past came songs so powerful they needed a couple of years of distance before Powell started staging them in 2007 with Sean Zapata on guitar, jazz-trained drummer Tim Gittner, and imposing bassist Andy Grover. Cool. Next up, it's The Tin Man's Last Request by Superfinos VTO, an Oakland band born of pursuing music as life, changing the world, and crafting tunes in the true nature of rock and roll. In just over 2 years, the band, Kamal Hassan Hood, Paul Dean Price III, and new member Lily Bry, have amassed a solid fan base and played at premier venues in the Bay Area and Southern California. We close out the stage strong with Metric Unit Conversion by Back Wall, a loud, energetic, talented, grungy indie band from Kitsap County, Washington. They began in 2010 as a four-piece rock band until they kicked out the former frontman, and now just consisting of Joey Schmidt, Liam Neer, and Dustin Hunt. They're commonly found at the filling station in Kingston or any club or bar that has all ages shows, for that matter. Hey, Bradical.
Count Listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
The Map Room, my hangout for weird science and alternative tech, has items this week from Impact Lab and Gizmodo. Item 1, Oceana, a nonprofit ocean protection group, took 1,215 samples of fish from across the U.S. and genetically tested them in order to bring us the following astonishing facts. 59% of the fish labeled tuna, sold at restaurants and grocery stores in the country, is not tuna. Sushi restaurants were far more likely to mislabel their fish than grocery stores or other restaurants. In Chicago, Austin, New York, and Washington, D.C., every single sushi restaurant sampled sold mislabeled tuna. 84% of fish samples labeled white tuna were actually escolar, a fish that can cause prolonged, uncontrollable, oily anal leakage. And the only fish more likely to be misrepresented than tuna was snapper, which was mislabeled 87% of the time and was in actuality any of 6 different species. If you've ever wondered why the sushi in the display case is so affordable, given the dire state of the world's tuna supply, well, now you know. Item 2. A twin-engine jet stream will take off from Wharton Aerodrome in Lancashire, England, and head north towards Scotland within the next few weeks. Like any other flight, the small commuter airliner will respond to instructions from air traffic controllers, navigate a path, and take care to avoid other aircraft. But the pilot flying the aircraft will not be in the cockpit. He will have his feet firmly on the ground in a control room back at Wharton. The Jetstream mission is part of a project to develop the technologies and procedures that will allow large commercial aircraft to operate routinely and safely without pilots in the same skies as manned civilian flights. The test flights won't carry passengers, and pilots will remain in the cockpit just in case something goes wrong. In that way, they're similar to Google's trials of driverless cars, which have drivers inside them to take over if necessary while on public roads. Yet unmanned commercial aircraft are likely to enter service before people can buy autonomous cars. Now, that's as far as I'm going to go in this item, which is a long article, but you should read the whole thing, because this is something that will, not might, happen, and likely before 2020. Item 3. One of the defining characteristics of human intelligence is language. We like to think that the complexity of our social interactions is one of the things that makes humans unique, but we do know that other animals do communicate with each other. Dolphins are one of the other smartest species on Earth, and new research suggests they may have language skills that are a lot more complex than we thought, as they've demonstrated their ability to call each other by individual names. According to researchers working with scientists at the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, this finding makes dolphins the only other living beings on the planet other than humans to assign such specific monikers to known family members and associates. Researcher Stephanie King of the University of St. Andrews Sea Mammal Research Unit said animals produced copies of sounds when they were separated from a close associate, and this supports our belief that dolphins copy another animal's signature whistle when they want to reunite with that specific individual. The scientists believe the name assignments are limited to particular groups. King continues, "Interestingly, signature whistle copying was only found in pairs of animals composed of mothers and their calves, or adult males who form long-term alliances with one another." I wonder if they have nicknames, too. And finally, item 4, which is kind of chilling. It turns out being blown out of an airlock and turning into a meat popsicle after succumbing to hypoxia might not be so bad, well, when compared to the multitude of other deadly maladies that await you in the depths of space. Among the dangers listed, cosmic radiation, the space junk minefield surrounding the planet, and the more benign long-term effects of zero gravity, we're just going to look at the most spacesuit-specific threat, corrosive space dust. When returning from a jaunt across the moon's surface, Apollo astronauts Harrison Jack Schmidt and Gene Cernan climbed aboard the lunar module in 1972, and remarked, "Smells like gunpowder in here." That was moon dust, tracked in from the Sea of Tranquility, formed by a near-constant bombardment of micrometeorite impacts against the moon's surface. The gray soil is finely pulverized with the consistency of flour. It gets everywhere, and is highly corrosive. The dust had already infiltrated their suits and jammed the limb joints and was so abrasive that it actually wore through three layers of Kevlar-like material on Jack's boot. And if you breathe in that crap for an extended period of time, you can develop silicosis, or stone grinder's disease, because moon dust closely resembles silica dust at the microscopic level. Even worse is Mars dust. Not only is it the same consistency as moon dust, it's also comprised in large part of iron oxide, a strong natural oxidizer on par with lye that burns through organic materials like rubber, plastic, and human flesh. A dust devil on the Martian surface would likely eat through a spacesuit and most of the astronaut inside. It could very well be toxic too. If you get Martian soil on your skin, it will leave burn marks, hypothesized University of Colorado engineering professor Stein Stewart. We don't know for sure how strong it is, but it could be pretty vicious. But hey, not to worry. We ain't even going to Mars till we figure out how to shield human flesh from a long-term journey through that raw expanse of cosmic radiation between us and the Red Planet. And yeah, that includes the space tourism operation that's planning on doing this in 2018. They're going to have to figure out some kind of shielding between now and then. Please visit the map room for the complete articles with links, the Geek Notes bits, the archives from previous shows, and the cool maps I found on the map room page. Okay, Venue Verite is my segment for interesting audio goodies and occasional etc. This week, we cap it with the excellent poem Storm Warnings by Matt Cedillo, performed at the 2013 Forward on Climate Rally in Los Angeles on Sunday the 17th. He's ably introduced by actor and environmental activist Ed Begley Jr., so let's get right to it. Enjoy.
Next up, a wonderful slam poet, Matt Cedillo, two-time national slam poet, Grand Slam champion of the Dam Slam LA 2011, and the author of For What I Might Do Tomorrow, published by Casa de Poesia 2010. His poetry has been published in anthologies alongside the likes of such literary giants as Lawrence Ferlinghetti, Jack Hirschman, and Luis Rodriguez. Cedillo has been a featured performer on KPFK on seven separate occasions, on many different shows, twice on Radio Free Atlanta, and was featured in a story that appeared in Los Angeles Times. Welcome, please, slam poet Matt Cedillo. Thank you, Matt.
All right, the name of this poem is called Storm Warnings. For the interest of time, let's get right into it. When it finally all goes down, when the Titanic finally sinks, when there is nowhere left to hide the money, when the Alps finally melt, when Switzerland becomes a barren desert and the Caymans are buried miles below sea level, the Fortune 500 will set up tax shelters on the moon. A storm is brewing. From the winds of Fukushima, from the ashes of Three Mile Island, from the criminal negligence, from the killing plunder, you can hear the distant thunder as they strip the earth to feed industry, rape the country to please the city, milk the city to engorge the capital, make weapons capable of destroying the planet, turn profits from tankers that poison the ocean, factories that darken the skies. A storm is brewing from the ghosts of Bhopal, from the graveyard of Exxon Valdez, from the the suit that is rising out of an industrial revolution, a commercial revolution, a Chevy revolution, inviting you to join the mad chorus as the rubber hits the road from the fall of the rainforest to show those who live in natural rhythm, villages that would raise children to the tune of a raindrop song, the savagery modern man is capable of, to let them know that a storm is coming, that a hard acid rain is gonna fall from the Yellow River to the Niger Delta to the Cuyahoga, from the holes in the ozone to New Delhi to Mexico City and Cairo, from the geological crime scene that is the River Ganges to the bitter harvest of Terminator seeds, from the mountaintops chopped off in the heart of the Appalachia, from the Canadian tar sands to the coal seams of the Badlands to polluted streams of gas land. There is nowhere to run. There is nowhere to hide. There's no taking shelter from this storm. No, no, not this time. And the storm is brewing. You best beware, for what profits a man should he gain the world but cannot breathe its air? And this is no way to live, because this land, this sky, this sea was made for you and for me and for us and for we and for them and for they and for those who are not yet born, who have yet to hear the song of a single raindrop song. And our hearts are stirring, our feet are marching, the choir is rising. So to those who would turn this earth to wasteland or home to landmine to save a nickel or scrape thin dimes with their eyes set on mountains of profit, well, you at best batten down the hatches, cross your fingers, and lock your doors, because a storm is brewing, and this is not a test, and you have been warned.
The music bed this week features a cool pair of artists from Los Angeles, Akiri Ellison and Beatification by Shiro Fujikawa, an electronica acid jazz trip hop cat with no bio but great sound. And in between his pieces, we have If You Leave Me Now by Eugene Jacques Collet. That's Dr. Jacques Collet, a 48-year-old multi-instrumentalist, classical, jazz, and world music, who divides his time between New York, Toronto, Philadelphia, and L.A. His primary influences include Pino Danaggio, Russ Freeman, Mantovani, and George Benson. And if you're familiar with the U.K. show Sailor Moon Neon Goddess, he voices the character Wrath. Look for his new album, Je n'ai pas where Paris est, on Island Def Jam Digital. And hey, if you dig the show, you can subscribe on my pod page, Podcast Pickle and Juice, among other places. My show, once again, is back in iTunes, just not in the podcast directory. You gotta search for it in podcasts, but that may change. My personal podcast, The Patio, is at Podomatic. My catalog of audio poetry and fiction is on sale through my publishing imprint, 1223 Press, found on my website and Facebook. Catch videos of featured bands from the Sundown Lounge playlist on my TV Room page and my YouTube channel, Soapbox Cinema. Okay, next week's episode, show 313 on the 8th, we'll check out the music scene in Tehran and see what the Iranian youth are up to. And episode 314 on the Ides of March, we'll journey up to Tartan territory for a survey of the scene in Scotland. I'm Larry, enjoying the vibe at Q Studios in the library at the Civic Center, and this is Sundown Lounge from San Francisco.